Going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It's on page 153 in your pew Bible. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and sight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view of an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So ends this reading this morning.
So, as my son remarked to me this morning, he said, when you've alluded to the first 14 verses of Ephesians, you've said a mouthful. You're going to preach on all of that today? And I said, no, son, probably. I won't do that. And I guess I want to ask for your forbearance this morning, because I've experienced this week a tremendous sense of dislocation. I had my sermon prepared early in the week, and my devotional life has been rich and full, and God has been doing incredible things. And you know, I try to prepare a message for you, and then there are times when I get up here and I am so far away from the message that I had prepared earlier in the week, I don't know what to do. So I'm not going to do that. Bear with me. What I'd like to do is share with you some of the things I think that I hear God saying, some passages that are speaking to me, share them with you, see if they speak with you, and let's do that today and call it good, okay? I apologize in a way, because this is not how I like to do things, and I'm really, really nervous, but that's okay. I should be really, really nervous standing where I am, so I am. Please open your Bibles to Exodus 34. And let's read together there. I want to start in the first verse. If you do not mind joining me there, that would be good. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. I certainly can't imagine a more ominous kind of setting in a way than this. It's as if God is saying, you come up here, I'm going to talk to you, clear the decks, just you, we're going to deal with some stuff. So I would submit to you that Moses was probably in some trepidation as he went up the mountain, knowing that he had a divine appointment that day. Then it says in verse 5, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. So Moses made haste and bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands. And the guilty are by no means cleared. I want to stop for a moment and make sure there are no translation issues that you would like to raise, because I was reading from the ESV. And if there's some significant word there or difference, I would really like to clear that up before we go on. Is there an alternate reading that was there that was helpful or needs clarification? No? Okay. So I looked at this passage and I thought, by no means clearing the guilty. And what the Lord has been speaking to me throughout the week, and one day after another, was that I have not fully appreciated the depth of Jesus' love for us. So I began to meditate on that. Began to think about what it means for someone like him to love someone like me. And as I think about that, I find myself moving to the place of worship that Moses was in. What are we to say? The love of Jesus, deep enough to reach someone like me. We were watching a marriage video last night, and there was a family in crisis because the man was not attentive to to his marriage. And so his marriage was in trouble. And the time of confrontation came, and on their 10th anniversary, they went out and had the celebration. And afterwards, he, operating on the assumption that everything was fine and he had a 10 for a marriage, said to his wife, "So how are we doing?" And she said, "I've lost all feeling for you." He was devastated. But what was so incredible is that this man of God, instead of reaching for his day timer to prove how many times he had been there and how right he was and arguing his case, instead of doing that, listening to the Holy Spirit in his ear, he said, "I need to pray." And I don't know how he did this, and she says she didn't know how he did this because they were in a Honda and he was driving. But he got on his knees on the driver's seat and cried out to God. He didn't blame his wife. He didn't argue with his wife. He didn't contest anything. He simply said, "Lord, we have a problem here. And it's me. I'm not right with you. And before I attempt to get right with her, I simply need to repent. I need to say to you that I have sinned. I've sinned against her, and I've sinned against you. Have mercy on me, a sinner." Do you know? There was nothing else for him to do. I thought, wow. For him to come to the place where he realized all he needed, what he needed to do was get right with God, was to come to the right place. Amen? And once he got to the right place, his wife was free to join him there. You see? And so she did. And as I read the opening chapters of Ephesians, you know, I'm looking at this thing going, oh my goodness gracious, look what it says here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." "And just as he chose him in us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Well, how does one do that? How does one get to the place where one is without blame before him in love? Does one not do that through heartfelt repentance and humility, utter trust that the one who made us can forgive us, and the one who forgives us can restore us? And my wonder at the love of Jesus began to grow. Do you understand what I'm trying to share with you? Day by day, I was brought to a place of wonder of how could he love such a one as me that much? To lay down his life, to pay the full penalty of my sin, all of my sin, none hidden, none tucked away to be dealt with later, no excuses, no hiding, deal with it all. My wonder at the love of Jesus began to grow. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. We read in Sunday school this morning about the paralytic who was brought by his friends to the house of Jesus. Perhaps you remember the story. It's in Luke 5, the narrative. And it's really interesting to see how much the love of those men, I assume they were men, please, ladies, don't get agitated about this, who carried the man to the roof and took the roof off. Doesn't say that they were, but says his friends. Maybe we shouldn't worry about their gender. And they lowered him before Jesus. They took him to Jesus. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, he healed the man. Why would he do that? What love he must have had for those friends. Do you see that? What love he must have had for the paralytic. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. That one such as him would love someone like me. That's it. May you know the love of Jesus.